Okay, so this is going to be the end of James. Next week we're gonna, let's see, we have about 4 more days in the month, and then like we said, next Sunday is gonna be on the 4th, and next month we're gonna start reading through the books of Joel and Zephaniah. Have you guys ever read those books?
Which one?
Joel and Zephaniah.
Zephaniah.
Okay. Well, it'll be a new experience. Honestly, I haven't read them very much. It does actually. How did you know that?
Because I think I've read something about it, but I don't remember.
Okay, well that is kind of what's fear of God. That's kind of what it's about. But next month there's 2 books, Joel and Zephaniah. Those are actually the names of 2 prophets who lived before the time of Jesus. It was way back in the day. And how? Oh, it did. Okay, and they're prophets, and that's basically how God talked to the people before Jesus came. There's a place in 1 Peter, I believe, where it says, in the past, God spoke to the people through the prophets. That was kind of his, the way he did it. Now he's spoken to us through Jesus, which we know what Jesus has told us to do. So just to make the point that before he spoke to him through the prophets, that was his, basically how he got the message out to the people that he wanted to talk to. And so Joel and Zephaniah are both 3 chapters long. They are 2 prophets that God basically gave a message and said, tell my people this, basically. And in both books, it's a similar message. So that's why we're doing 2 books at the same time. Basically, we're going to read Joel and then Zephaniah, and Joel and Zephaniah, and go back and forth. So Joel's the first one. So July 1st, start with that one. And the difference is that with those books and what we've been reading, like in James, is... In James, it tells us directly what to do. That's kind of what James is. A lot in James is telling us how to live as Christians. In Joel and Zephaniah, it's not directly telling us. So it's going to take a little. So my point is, I really want you to read through it and put some thought into it as you're reading it, and be serious about reading through it this month. Next month, the whole next month. Because seeing what God's will is out of it might not be as plain. So, it's the bottom line. I really want to encourage you to read it next month. So, July 1st. Oh, and the reason I mention it is because right now we don't have the bookmarks. Next week we will, but this week we don't have the bookmarks.
What happened to the shirts?
They're coming next week.
Well, that's what they said last week.
You're right. Really?
It's really?
I'm sorry. They're pretty nice. Okay. They'll be here next week. But anyway, so July 1st, read through Joel, and then Sunday's the 4th, and then that day you'll have a bookmark for then on. Okay, so today... yes. And I'm going to start with James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. It says... Will no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God? For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Okay, what have some... yes? Oh, does he put things? Are there things in our life that he's put there to ask us? So choices that he wants us to choose him instead of other things to show who they really love. Does God? Well, what it says is that God does not tempt us. He's not tempted. He's.
What about the end? Like, what about that part? Before 15.
So 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Okay. That's kind of the key right there is. It starts at the beginning saying God isn't evil, and there's no attraction to evil for God, for anything wrong. And so therefore, he's not tempted, and he can't tempt us. But we all know that we are tempted. We are tempted. And so where is that coming from? If it's not from God, well, what it says basically is it's from us. It says our evil desires basically, that, like, what's deep inside of us.
Yeah,
what?
Well,
where did sin all, where did all sin come from?
Deep.
Right, well, it was essentially, yes, the devil, but it was, it happened in the garden. Before that, everything was perfect. Yeah, it was Eve, but it was, okay, right, basically, it was a snake that tempted them, and then she gave in. Yes.
So then the devil tempts us.
Yes, but really it comes from our own desire. So sin is in the world. We're exposed to it, and now that's our inside. Deep inside of us, we have desires. And
half bad.
No, we're actually all bad, basically. Guys, stop it. You're getting ahead of the point that we're going to get to that. Okay. Deep inside of us, that's our desire. We have these desires, and when we think about that, we basically tempt ourselves because we there's something that we want, and it comes from deep inside of us, and that's how we tempt ourselves. We have these desires for things in our life, and so that's where the tempting comes from. And then let me go back there, verse 15. It says, "Then desire So think about desire being like the first step. Like in the back of your mind, there's a slight desire for something. And it says, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So kind of a process. It starts with like these deep desires inside of us. And that brings forth, when they are kind of developed, when we dwell on that and bring that forth, it turns into the result of that is sin, that we do things that are not pleasing to God. And the result of sin eventually is, if we don't stop it, is death. We spiritually die. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is we all understand that, right? That there's things in life that we want to do that we know we aren't supposed to do. There's what I want to focus though is an area, a specific area in your life that you know is your big spot, I guess. It's kind of your weakness, and it's things that you've tried not to, you tried to overcome yourself, but it's still there, and it feels like it's permanent. So I'm going to read this section of Mark. It's chapter 7, sorry, verse 21 and 22. And Jesus says, it's kind of a list of sins, and maybe the specific area that you struggle with isn't specifically mentioned, but there's probably a different thing for each of us that we struggle with, and this is going to kind of give you some ideas, kind of pull out what is inside of you, and let the Spirit talk to you and say what's inside of me what's my thing, I guess, my persistent sin. Okay, verse 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." So what does it mean by defile a person? Yeah, they kind of make us. They come from inside of us, and that's what kind of makes us bad, makes us dirty, makes us less than perfect. Well, what are you being proud of? You're kind of being proud of yourself. And basically you're saying, essentially what it is you're saying that you're better than other people. Yeah. Why though? Because you're better than somebody else? But we're all, but that's how we all are programmed to think, is that each of us are better than the other person. Yeah, you can be confident and
confidence.
But that's not necessarily being proud and thinking you're better than other people. You can be confident in thinking, I'm a child of God. God made me special. He made me how I am, and there's no one else like you. There's no one else like me. We're each special in that way. But exactly. But at the same time, we're all people and we're all human and we're all in the same boat, basically. Okay, so I'm going to go back through this and kind of talk through what each of these kind of mean. So out of the heart come evil thoughts. What would be an evil thought?
Our desires.
Okay, like a proud thought, could that be an evil thought? So I guess you could think of it like this. Any sin that we're going to commit starts with our minds, right?
Yeah.
It all starts up here, and then we do it. So maybe he says evil thoughts first because he's saying, this is where it all starts, and then here's some of the things. So it all starts with the evil within your mind. And then sexual immorality, which how I see it is anything that has to do with sex that's not between a husband and a wife. Anything, yeah, that's basically what it is. If it's not with your husband or wife and it has to do with sexuality, it's...
What are the consequences
for that?
You get shot in the head.
No, if you go to, okay, well...
I wonder, because, like, nowadays, you know how, like, you see every girl getting pregnant. Like, you know
here's the consequences. In James 1, verse 15, it says, then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Well, if there's sin in your life and you're not confronting it and not putting into it, that is. Right, that's what we're going
to
talk about tonight, actually.
Is that like, I'm not trying to say that's enough for him, but, like, you know, that she's trying to, like, you know, make it stop and, like, she regrets it, but.
If you continue to sin in an area, that's basically, it's continuing to sin, continuing to...
But it's like being alcoholic.
No,
you
don't
see
her.
Like,
it's still wrong, though.
I know it's wrong, but, like...
So, yes, you do have to... Well, that's what we're going to look at. You can't...
You answer my question!
No, I'm going to! Okay, but you can't change what's already happened, right? You can only... No. Okay. Next one is theft, stealing, taking something that's not yours. It's still wrong. Your parents, I'm sure, told you to share your toys and not take things from other people. Yes. Yeah, basically. Okay, murder, killing somebody. Adultery, which I think that kind of... What is it? No, that's different. No, that's different. Adultery is, again, it's basically like sexual immorality. It's anything, it's anything having to do with sex that's not between a husband and a wife that are married to each other. But it applies to anyone. Okay, sure, that works. Okay. But it's interesting that it talks about that type of thing twice. Maybe there's a reason. Coveting. What is coveting?
Hiding something.
It's actually wanting.
Yeah, I know.
Saying like it's basically just think of it as wanting. Something that it could be wanting more of something you have. It could be wanting basically anything. Yeah, it could be that. It could be something that you already have. And that's the weird part. It could be something that you have, but you just... Yeah, but that's what you want, and that's what you're really excited about. Or just wanting other things, wanting in general. Yeah. Yeah, that would be coveting. We can pretend that. Wickedness. It's kind of everything, basically. Okay. Deceit. Deceitfulness or deceit.
Deceitful? Wow, being rude.
Okay, what about lying? Which might be in the list.
Hiding.
Okay, lying is telling something to someone that's not true. Deceit is basically giving somebody an impression that's not true. And it talks about in the Bible another place, but basically deceit and lying are the same thing. It's still wrong. And it's interesting that it doesn't mention... Let me make sure it doesn't... Deceit is basically, it's deceiving somebody, making them think something that's not true.
Like playing them?
Yeah. It's not gossip, but it's...
What sense?
Well, it's like, we never said...
We're getting to that.
Like, okay, like, a teacher gives you an order, and, like, you
comes back and you tell her, yeah, I did.
You tell the kid, she never said we couldn't do this. And then, you get me?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, I think so. What about this? Let's say your parents would ask. Let's say you went out with some friends, and then your parents ask you the next day what you guys did, or they say, "Did you do this certain thing?" And maybe you did something.
Okay, so yeah, like if you said your parents let you go out, they're like, "Don't get into any trouble," but they never. And then you tell someone, they said we couldn't get into any trouble, but they never said we couldn't.
Right. Okay. So basically, giving your parents the impression that you didn't do something, that everything you did was fine, but really you did something and you know it. That would actually probably be lying, but it's basically lying and deceit are the same thing. Sensuality, so again, kind of like the sexual immorality, the adultery, that type of thing. Envy.
Oh, I know. Wanting something
that someone else has.
Exactly. Envy, wanting, again, like coveting, kind of. What about slander?
Killing.
No, it's not actually killing.
Isn't that word like that, though? Like, oh, bad words.
Basically, but bad words that basically are saying, no, not okay, not like foul language, not like that slander. It's saying like mean words, basically. Put like, let's say,
racist, discrimination.
It could be that, but it's basically putting other people down. Okay, it's saying bad things about other people. Pride, that's one of the, okay. So we talked about pride already. It's being thinking you're better than everyone else when really we're all the same. And then even includes foolishness. Just as, yeah, so I guess basically wasting. God's given us each a life, and He's given it to us for a reason. And if we're just basically we're wasting, we're being foolish, and we're wasting.
Like the life that He gave you, like if you like put your waste.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think it's just.
He made you intelligent, but you act stupid.
No, I'm saying more. God gave you a life for a reason, and to use it. And you, if you are just being foolish with your life, and you're just joking around all the time. It could be.
As in school, you want to make it the easy way, so you would just act stupid so you get smarter, easy classes.
I guess that could be an example of it. Well, yeah, it's a waste of what God has given you. Okay, so we've kind of gone through this. Think about for yourselves. I'm going to think about for myself. What is in your life? And maybe it's one of the things we talked about. Maybe it falls in one of these categories. Maybe it doesn't. But what's in your life that you struggle with and you know it's wrong, but it feels like you can't get over it. It feels just like... Okay, good. Then for the rest of the time we're talking, that's what's in your mind. Okay, that's what is in the back of your mind that you're going to apply this to. Exactly. It will. And the problem is these things they have a hold on us and they make us miserable, right? Because we know it's wrong and these things give us... Usually they promise us something to satisfy us and they don't. So we end up waste our life on it. And we can't stop and we just feel trapped. And it's like they have a hold on us. Yeah. And it could be things that could ruin relationships. It could be something that is literally going to hurt your body and potentially kill you. It could ruin, like it could take all your money. It could be something that you spend all your money on and you waste your money and stuff like that. It has the potential to... Maybe, but it has the potential to really mess us up. Like it says in James, when it gives birth, the sin when it grows, it gives birth to death. So basically, it has this sin. If it's not killed, if it's not taken care of, has potential. It's going to grow and it's going to change you to something you never thought you could be. And that's kind of what we talked about this whole month is looking at. What we say and do we really believe it? And that's what we're going to look at tonight is we say these things are wrong, but do we really believe it? And in the picture of basically we're God's child and do we really believe we're a new person, we're a new child of God, or do we think we're just a saved version of what I used to be? Am I just the same old Paul, but I'm saved and there's no change in my life? Which kind of brings us to the big idea. And the big idea for today is when we are in Christ, you're actually a new person. You're not the same person you were before. And I think you guys, yeah, you might, it's, and that's something, exactly. At first, it's not something, the change is inside you. It's a spiritual change, and you can't see it with your eyes, but eventually we should be able to see the results of it in our lives. Think about for yourselves. Okay, if you all know that you have desires now that you didn't have, that God's given you, that you didn't have before you were in Christ, right? God's changed you. He's made you a new person. He's given you a desire for him and a desire to help other people's lives that you didn't have before and that I didn't have before. And he's helped us in ways also with sin, that to make us aware of things in our life and make us, give us a desire to change, I guess, that we might not have really had before. We're going to go back to a verse in James that actually follows the one we read. And it's kind of interesting that James's answer to the sin, because he was talking about the sin, it's inside of us, it grows, and it produces death. And his answer to that, what do we do about that, is basically the fact that we are a new child. So if we go to James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, it says, this is exactly after what we were reading earlier. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." He says, This is I'll reread the last verse, and this is kind of what I want you to focus on. Is that it says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So it's like he made us new. He made us like a fruit, like a new apple, let's think about in the summer. The apple trees, they have a blossom and that turns into an apple, a fruit. Or an orange tree, either way. But think about it, it's a new life. It's a new product, a new fruit that's given birth after the winter, after they have died. And that's what God has done to us, is basically made us new in him. We are a new creation, we're a new fruit in Jesus. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's a seed.
What about, where does reincarnation come from? Where does that come from?
I'm not sure in what sense.
Like reincarnation.
Well, that's from Buddhism.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because they believe if you die and you're a good person, you're reincarnated.
Okay, so basically they're saying that when you die, you come back a better version of yourself, right? If you were good, you come back a better version. So what do we think about ourselves? Do we think that when we're a Christian, we're a better version of ourselves? Or are we a new person? A completely different new person. Exactly.
We try to become a different person by following Jesus.
Right, but that's what we're going to look at. Exactly. Okay, so another verse that basically talks about it is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So is that what is that saying?
Therefore,
but put it in your words. What does that mean?
Born again.
Yeah.
You're a baby, right?
Yeah.
I'm like 2 years old right now.
3. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's like when I was saved, it's like the old me was completely gone and a new me was put inside. And that's what we're gonna look at. Is that it's if we're really a new person, we should live like it, right? Okay. So how does this new? How does the new person become? How do we become a new person? How does that happen? Right, but I mean more. Okay, so in this verse it says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So how does the new creation happen? How does the initial new person start? Okay, but I'm going to look at John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It kind of talks about it because, well, I'll just read this and then it'll make sense. So, yes. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born by the flesh is flesh, and that which is born by the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say, you must be born again.'"
Hey, this isn't in the new thingies. I've read this before. I've read this before. This is in Joel.
It's not. It's in John. Yeah. You have heard it, I'm pretty sure. What we're saying is, it's not a physical birth. We're not a new physically person, but on the inside, we're brand new. I know. So when we make our decision to follow Christ, that's what's happening. So how does this happen? How does a new... Exactly, by the Spirit. It's God giving us a new spirit, a new mind, a new everything. Exactly. So James 1, we're going to go to James 1:21. So how do, and it talks about basically what starts that process. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. All right, so what's that saying? What's that saying, though?
Set aside your old ways and, put something that can save you. Dedicate your mind. Stop that. Dedicate your mind to something that would actually do good for you.
And your soul.
Okay. Right, okay, but think about this, kind of before that. It says, receive the word. Let me see how it says it again. It says, so basically, yeah, put away all the old stuff, your old self. And it says, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So think about this. Earlier, we were talking about the fruit. God made us a new, yeah? Exactly. God made us, okay, think about, before we were talking about God made us new, the first fruits of his creation. So think about that fruit, that new fruit, and that's us. And where does that come from? It comes from, think about exactly a seed that goes in the ground and it grows and it produces the plant and the fruit. And that's what we are, yes? That's how it works. Because that's how new trees would happen, is through. Well, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure coconut's a seed. That is a seed. It's just bigger than most seeds. Yeah, I think so.
What do you think?
I'm pretty sure coconut. Okay, this is off topic, so I'll talk about it later with you. But yeah, that's okay. Think about this. Okay. For us, God says we're a new creation with the first fruits of his creation. Where does that seed? That seed, basically, think about it like this. The word of God that comes inside of us, and that's like the seed. And it's planted inside of us. That's what it says. It says, receive the seed, or the word of God, which basically save your souls. So it's like the seed is the word, or the word of God is like a seed and goes inside of us. And it's there, and it kind of grows, and it works on our hearts, and eventually it produces a new life in us. Exactly. And exactly. Okay, so think about this. If we are a new creation, we should then go and plant that seed, the word of God, in other people's lives. in other people's souls, and they should grow and create new seed as well.
Oh, okay, so the seeds and like just like how the seed comes out of the ground, like
the
it comes
out
of you.
Yeah. Yeah, so actually, I guess your question was on topic. So let's say the coconut is a seed. You plant that in the ground, it's gonna make a coconut plant come up out of the ground, a coconut tree, or not a coconut tree, a palm tree come out of the ground. It's gonna grow, it's gonna produce coconuts. Those are gonna fall down on the ground, go back in the ground, and make new trees. And that's what should happen to us. It's the word of God should come inside of us. What? That's true. So the word of God comes inside of us, it grows and it changes us, and we shut up. it grows and creates a new fruit inside of us, a new tree basically. We're a new thing in Christ. And that when we speak God's words to other people, those are like seeds that go into another person and they grow and produce a new person. And then 1 Peter 1:23 through 25. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the good news, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Just kind of comparing like grass and trees like we were to the word of God and like the life that comes from that. And he's saying trees and grass all grow up and then eventually they die. And so it's perishable. It doesn't last that long. But the contrast is that the word of God lasts forever. And the life that we receive through that lasts forever as well. Our souls and our spirits are eternal beings, and they're someday you're going to spend an eternity with Christ. And then, so you see, that's ultimately we were born in the spirit. We're a new person. That's kind of prompted or started by the word of God in us. And then we're going to look at basically what does it really look like when that word of God grows inside of us and basically gives birth to that fruit, to that new spirit inside of us. And if you go to Acts 2:38, it kind of gives a picture of what that looks like when.
Not a picture.
Well, make a mental picture out of it.
Yeah. But it's like if you're a bad Christian, well, not Christian, but like, yeah, say you get baptized, but you really don't do anything. Are you like the bad
person? Put it up there.
I guess you can think about it like that, yeah. Okay, so the people. Basically, Peter had preached to these people, he had given them the word of God. And they had heard it, and this is how it had kind of worked on their hearts, and this is their response to that. They said, then when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see saying these people received the word from Peter, and then their response was, they think about like the plant, it was getting ready to grow, and they said, how do we grow basically? And he says, repent from your sins, and turn to Jesus, and repent and be baptized, and you receive the Holy Spirit, which is like that new life inside of us. So the result is, we kind of see what the process looks like when we really become a new person. And if we exactly, we receive that seed, that word of God inside of us. Yeah. Yeah.
The seed gets passed on.
So the seed is like the
point. No.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess so, because the seed's like the word of God. And the word of God is.
Gives the word of God to someone else. And then they got the word of God and they give it to someone else.
Yeah, and Ephesians 6 talks about how the word of God and the Holy Spirit are kind of work together. So it is kind of the spirit. So, but anyway, we see that we're new people in Christ. We're brand new on the inside. We're like a brand new apple or brand new orange. We're new fruit.
I thought you were saying clothes for a minute because you said orange. I was like,
oh, yeah. Okay, but So we see if we're really a new person and we really believe that, we should live like it, right? What we our old temptations and our old self should be no more, and we should really live like a new person. And that's what it talks about in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, which is actually a continuation where we were reading earlier. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's kind of look at all this. He's saying basically how we should be. Instead of, we should be slow to speak, quick to listen. Then verse 21, it says, never put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the word of God, which can save your soul. So it's like we should put away everything that we used to have, and like put that in a closet and close the door and never go to that closet again. Exactly. That's not part of us anymore. Instead, we should be different. So kind of go back to where we started, is we know this, but we know we can never do it perfectly, right? What? Yeah, but we know we can't do it perfectly, right? We know that this is what we should do, this is what God expects from us, but we can't do it perfectly. So that's kind of where we look to Jesus, because he did, and that's our example, because Jesus showed us perfectly how a new person lives. If we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 15. That a new person, when we're in Christ, basically we're a new person. And then if we are a new person, we should live like it, right? Okay, verse 14, 15 says, then since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we see, number one, we see it's possible. Jesus was a man, he lived as we did, and he endured all the same temptations and all the same, basically temptations that we do, except he was perfect and he never sinned, he never gave in to those. So that's our goal. That's our, Jesus is who we should really try to be like. In the same time, he helps us. Verse 16, it says, well, and it says he, in verse 15, it says, he's able to sympathize with us, and he knows what it's like, and he knows what it's like to be tempted. Yeah, he knows our weaknesses, and he sympathizes with us, he understands. And then in verse 16, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So Jesus, we can go to Jesus, and that's where we find our strength and our grace and our ability to overcome our sin. And when we fail, he's there to forgive us as well.
But like,
won't
you get mad if you keep on doing it?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It just keeps on happening.
No.
What's that
Jesus is wanting you to give up.
Like, it still feels like you're playing, you know what I mean?
You are. Each time you sin, it still hurts Jesus.
Yeah, like, why would...
But... And it is frustrating. I know what you mean, because it is frustrating when you're struggling with sin, and it feels like... Like we talked about at the beginning, you feel trapped. Like, I've been there. I know what you mean. It feels like you're never going to get away. This is how we do. So since we've heard this, kind of, what do? The application is basically we live like who we really are. If we're really a new person in Christ, that's what we do. We live like a new person in Christ. And if you aren't a new person in Christ, then you believe that it is possible. Jesus, we just talked about basically, you can be a new person in Christ. So basically, do you really believe you are a new person? If you do, then live like it. Yes. Are you guys leaving? Okay. Yes. But so James 1:21, it said, put away basically your old self and receive the word of God, which can change you. So that's one thing that we see. It says the word of God, which can save your souls. So that's one step we can take and say, okay, this is how we can leave our sin behind us, is by reading the word of God and letting his spirit talk to us and spending time with him and deepening our relationship with Jesus. And a big piece of that is reading the Bible and learning what Jesus wants from us and learning how he helps us. And then Ephesians 4, verse 1. Yes. Verse 1 says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So he's like begging with us. This is Paul. He was a prisoner for Jesus, and he's begging with us to walk how, to be a new person, to live like it, basically. To walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we have been called. We've been called to be children of God. And I mean, that's just amazing, you know? And so we need to live like children of God, which is to leave behind sin and live like that. Then chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So we're... I don't think that's how it means it here. I kind of see what you're saying, but what it means is to try to copy, try to be just like Jesus, be just like God, be imitating, basically copying in God. Yeah. Yeah. And then right after it says, as dearly loved children. So it's like we are children of God and he loves us. We are kind of his pride and joy. And that's what he wants for us, is to live like him and he wants to help us as well. So basically, how do we do this? We see that's what God wants from us. So when you're tempted, think about what we talked about earlier. What's kind of your area? What do you struggle with? When you're tempted, remind yourself, I'm actually a new person. This is what my old self wanted to do. I'm a new person in Christ. And yeah. And talk to you, and like, this sounds, might sound funny, but talk to yourself and say, you know, this is what I used to be tempted with, but Jesus made me new and he changed my desire, and I'm God's child. Yes, we locked all our old stuff in the closet. We're a new person and I want to live like it. Yes. Okay. And here's, So talk to yourself, remind yourself you're a new child and that I want to live like it. And then here's a big piece too. Find a verse that applies to whatever you're struggling with. If you can't think of a verse, ask me or Philip or somebody else for help to find a verse. But find a verse that basically applies directly to what you struggle with and memorize it. And then when you are tempted, remind yourself of that verse and kind of think about it. What? Yeah, either way, but I mean, it's best if you just memorize it, and then you can kind of use that verse to fight against your sin and your struggle, and call it your fighter verse for yourself. That's what you use to fight with.
Psalm?
Yeah, Psalm's good. Yeah.
There's like little tiny chapters like this, and they're so good.
Yeah, they are. And if we do this, the result is that we're gonna live like new children. We're gonna live like children of God, and our sin that we thought we were enslaved to for so long will be gone, and we will defeat that.
Are you cool?
No. Yeah. So what's your next step? If you haven't made your decision to follow Christ, that is your step. If you have, when you're tempted, remember who you really are. You're not who you used to be. You're a new person in Christ. I'm a new person in Christ. we can overcome with God's help, with Jesus' help and his grace. We really can overcome what we struggle with and be and live the life that God wants us. Yeah, it may take time, but don't give up, because you're a new person. You're not that same person anymore. So just keep it up, keep fighting. So, when you guys want to pray? Do me too, or do you guys want to pray? Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for making us new and giving us a new life in you, that a better life than any of us could imagine, and not just making us different, but really giving us a new life in you. I pray that with our struggle with sin, I pray that you would help us to see how that hurts you, and to help us overcome. Pray, give us a desire to change, and a desire and change our desire to not even want that anymore. Pray you give us your Spirit and help us to remember that He's inside of us and helping us fight. It's doing your name we pray. Amen.